From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia's economy is projected the fastest recover after China. The World Health Organization, WHO, says no indication new coronavirus in seasonal. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo quoted global financial institution as saying that Indonesia's economy recovery after the COVID-19 pandemic is projected to be fastest after China. That was stated by President Joko Widodo at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Tuesday. The president conveyed it in a limited meeting virtually with the topic postured draft of the state budget and revenue in 2021. Even though it is predicted that the Indonesian economy will recover quickly, President Joko Widodo still asked to be vigilant. The president reminded that the global economic situation develops very dynamic and full of uncertainty. The president also cited three global financial institutions, namely the International Monetary Fund, IMF, the World Bank, and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, regarding the prediction of the world economy will begin to grow positively in 2021. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has signed a regulation to protect the rights of children who have been subject to or witnessed a crime. The Presidential Regulation No. 75/2020 concerning the implementation of the rights of child victims and child witnesses of criminal offenses entitles child victims and witnesses to medical rehabilitation, social rehabilitation, and guarantees their physical, mental, and social safety. It also grants them the rights to access information about developments in the case. Dini Santi Purwono, Presidential Spokesperson for Legal Affairs, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the presidential's regulation, which was issued on July 6, 2020, is a direct mandate from Law No. 11 of 2012 concerning the juvenile justice system. With presidential's regulation No. 75/2020, the president makes sure the presence of the state by guaranteeing the safety of child victims and witnesses, protecting their personal security, as well as the security of their families and property. Chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Bambang Susatyo, appreciated the performance of the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, under the leadership of Firly Bahuri, who managed to save state funds reaching 79 trillion rupiah during the first semester of January to June 2020. Bambang Susatyo said the results were obtained from the Commission's efforts to prioritize prevention by carrying out various interventions in the form of controlling regional assets, taxes, and land certifications. Bambang Susatyo, in his statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that it proved the aspects of prevention is important in the system of eradicating corruption. From the KPK's report, as of June 30, 2020, the Commission managed to save the local tax of 70.8 billion rupiah. Susati also said that the tax revenue had indeed dropped in the same period in June 2019, which was only able to collect 80.6 billion rupiah due to sluggish economy caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The spread of the novel coronavirus does not appear to be impacted by seasonality. The World Health Organization said Tuesday, warning against false beliefs that summer is safer. WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris told reporters in virtual briefing that some of the hardest hit countries are currently in the midst of different season. While it is summer in the United States, which with nearly 148,000 deaths and close to 4.3 million cases, is the hardest hit country. The second most affected country, Brazil, which counts more than 87,000 deaths, is in winter. This is because people are mistakenly viewing the pandemic through a flu lens, because that is the way the flu behaves. Instead of expecting the virus to behave like other viruses that are more familiar, she said people should look at what is actually known about how to stop transmission of COVID-19. What works, the spokeswoman's father said, is physical distancing, hand washing, wearing a mask where appropriated, always covering up sneezes and cough, staying home when experiencing symptoms, the isolation of cases and quarantining of contacts. China announced the suspension Tuesday of Hong Kong extradition treaties with Canada, Australia and Britain in a tit-for-tat move following similar decision by those countries over a controversial new security law. China has accused the countries of interfering in its internal affairs and defended the security law as crucial to restore order in Hong Kong following a wave of pro-democracy protests marred by violence. Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Wang Wenbin, at a regular press briefing, said that the wrong action of Canada, Australia and the UK in politicizing judicial cooperation with Hong Kong has seriously hurt the basis of judicial cooperation. China has decided to suspend extradition treaties between Hong Kong and Canada, Australia and UK, as well as criminal justice cooperation agreement. Wang Wenbin accused the countries of having used the national security law as an excuse to unilaterally announce the suspension of extradition treaties with Hong Kong. Vietnam has suspended all flights to and from Da Nang for 15 days after at least 14 cases of the novel coronavirus had been detected in the city, the government said on Tuesday. According to the statement, all bus and train services to and from Da Nang have also been suspended from Tuesday. The city, a tourism hotspot, had introduced social distancing measures over the weekend after the government confirmed the first domestically transmitted cases of coronavirus in more than 3 months. Vietnam is still closed to foreign tourism, but there had been a surge in domestic travelers looking to take advantage of discounted flights and holiday packages to local resorts. On Monday, the government said it had requested the Civil Aviation Authority of Vietnam, or CAAV, to allow domestic airlines to significantly increase the number of flights from Da Nang to 11 Vietnamese cities in order to help evacuate 80,000 people, mostly tourists. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, has urged the international community to make greater efforts to reduce the deadly risk for displaced people posed by landmines and improvised explosive devices in Africa's Sahel and Lake Chad basin regions, which have been the site of ongoing conflicts, according to a press release issued on Tuesday. According to the UN agency, mines, unexploded ordnance, and improvised explosive devices that numerous anti-government and non-state armed groups widely use to target security forces are killing and injuring an increasing number of civilians. Among the most affected countries in this regard are Sahel's Chad and Nigeria, the agencies added. In a recent incident, 4 refugee miners were killed and 3 others injured in a refugee camp in eastern Chad after picking up an unexploded device and trying to open it. Since the beginning of 2020, more than 15 of such incidents have been reported. According to the UN agency, the region is currently facing one of the fastest-growing displacement crises in the world, with 1 million people having fled attacks by armed groups against civilians and state institutions, including schools and health facilities. The The agency added that the presence of explosive devices is also affecting the delivery of humanitarian aid and development activities. UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson has warned there are signs of a second wave of coronavirus in Europe as he defended a 14-day quarantine on travelers from Spain. The Prime Minister said the government had to be swift and hinted at further action against other countries if necessary. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
Let's be absolutely clear about what's happening among some of our European friends. I'm afraid you are starting to...
UK's Foreign Office is advising against all non-essential travel to Spain, including to Balearic and Canary Island. Spain has seen a recent rise in the number of COVID-19 infection in some areas, with 47 cases per 100,000 people over the last 2 weeks. The UK, by comparison, has 15 cases per 100,000. France has similar levels of disease, while Germany has fewer than 9 cases per 100,000 people. In the worst-hit parts of Spain, partial lockdowns are being reinstated. In the capital, Madrid, the authorities have announced the compulsory wearing of face masks. The impact of the latest restriction on travel to and from Spain has led to calls for coronavirus testing for people arriving in the UK instead of quarantine. The UK's government says it's looking at a range of options. There are signs of second wave of the coronavirus pandemic in parts of Europe, according to Boris Johnson, who's been defending his government's handling of the crisis and the sudden imposition of quarantine on travelers from every part of Spain. Speaking during a visit to Nottinghamshire, Prime Minister Johnson said that the signs of second wave of COVID-19 in Europe begins to show.
Let's be absolutely clear about what's happening among some of our European friends. I'm afraid you are starting to see, in some places, the signs of a second wave of the pandemic. And we all remember what happened last time. It's absolutely vital, therefore, that we make the necessary preparations here in the UK.
The UK's government decision to impose a 14-day quarantine on everyone arriving from Spain was unjust. The country's prime minister has said, Pedro Sanchez said, tourists in most Spanish regions would be safer from coronavirus than in the UK, and he was hoping Britain would rethink its move.
Take the Canary Islands, the Balearics, the regions of Valencia, Andalusia, where there is, I emphasise, a lower prevalence of the virus than in the UK.
Meanwhile, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon echoed UK Prime Minister Johnson's concerns, saying that they are currently seeing a worrying resurgence of COVID in European countries. She warned potential travellers not to assume quarantine measures would remain the same at the time of booking a holiday as when they return.
If you are in a position to have a holiday and want to take a holiday, the safest way of doing so is to stay here in Scotland. So you avoid the risks of foreign travel, but you're also, as an added bonus, helping the Scottish tourist industry as well.
The UK's Department of Health said there have been a handful of suspected cases this month where a person had tested positive for the coronavirus after returning to the UK from Spain. But it added these were not a factor in evidence presented to Minister and that the decision to reintroduce a quarantine for arrivals from Spain was taken because of a rising infection rates there. Listener, that was the news. I'm Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling COVID-19 has changed the world. The statement of WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus on Monday that the corona pandemic is far from over has shaken many parties. According to WHO, coronavirus or COVID-19 has changed the world. Since it was discovered late last December, until now, the number of infected continues to fluctuate. WHO calls this the worst health emergency the world has ever faced. Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said he would reconvene the WHO Emergency Committee this week to conduct a review. When referring to the course of human history, COVID-19 is not the first outbreak to attack mankind. Throughout history, human life has been influenced by various infectious diseases. But COVID-19 has separated connected regions and countries due to physical or social distancing and lockdown meant to break the spread of the virus. This has had a severe economic impact throughout the world. When WHO said that the COVID-19 challenge was far from over, what needs to be done is adjustment. Life continues to rotate. The economy of each country must still revolve. But as of Monday, more than 16 million cases of COVID-19 have been reported since January, with more than 650,000 deaths. In fact, many countries do not enter the same phase in facing the outbreak. Some are entering the second lockdown phase. However, there are countries that have sought the so-called new normal order, though the number of infected is still increasing. For this reason, the role of the World Health Organization, WHO, is needed to oversee, initiate any protocol development that might be needed. Compliance in running the COVID-19 protocol simultaneously, which inevitably changes a lot of world habits, seems to be the key word in order to adjust to a pandemic situation, so that countries can continue to turn the wheels of their economy amid a pandemic like today. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from a history which occurred on July 29, 1907. The Scout Movement began. The Scout Movement is a youth coaching movement that has influence worldwide. The Scout Movement consists of various youth organizations, both men and women, which aim to train the physical, mental, and encourage them to carry out positive activities in the community. At present, there are more than 38 million Scout members from 217 countries and territories. The Scout Movement began on July 29, 1907, when Robert Baden-Powell, a Lieutenant General of the British Armed Forces, and William Alexander Smith held the first Scout camp known as a Jamboree on the Bounsty Islands, England. Now we move to a history on July 29, 1941, was the birth of Gunawan Muhammad. Gunawan Susatyo Muhammad, also known as Gunawan Muhammad, is an Indonesian poet, essay writer, scriptwriter, and editor. Gunawan Muhammad was born in Karangasem, Batang, Central Java on July 29, 1941. He is the founder and editor of the Indonesian magazine Tempo. Gunawan Muhammad was a very observant critic toward the government, and his magazine was periodically closed due to his criticisms. He has received numerous awards for his journalistic works, including the CPJ International Press Freedom Award in 1998, the International Editor of the Year Award in 1999, and the Dan David Prize in 2006. Now we end with a history on July 29, 2010, was the World Tiger Day. The World Tiger Day is an annual celebration to raise awareness of tiger conservation efforts. Celebrated every July 29, it was firstly conceived at the St. Petersburg Tiger Summit in 2010. The Tiger Day celebration is aimed to promote a global system to protect the natural habitat of tigers and increase public awareness of tiger conservation issues. That was Today in History.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from a history which occurred on July 29, 1907. The Scout Movement began. The Scout Movement is a youth coaching movement that has influence worldwide. The Scout Movement consists of various youth organizations, both men and women, which aim to train the physical. Mental, and encourage them to carry out positive activities in the community. At present, there are more than 38 million Scout members from 217 countries and territories. The Scout movement began on July 29, 1907, when Robert Baden-Powell, a Lieutenant General of the British Armed Forces, and William Alexander Smith held the first Scout camp known as a Jamboree on the Bounty Islands, England.
Thank you.
Now we move to a history on July 29, 1941, was the birth of Gunawan Mohammad. Gunawan Susatyo Mohammad, also known as Gunawan Mohammad, is an Indonesian poet, essay writer, scriptwriter, and editor. Gunawan Mohammad was born in Karangasem, Batang, Senju, Java on July 29, 1941. He is the founder and editor of the Indonesian magazine Tempo. Gunawan Mohammad was a very observant critic toward the government, and his magazine was periodically closed due to his criticisms. He has received numerous awards for his journalistic works, including the CPJ International Press Freedom Award in 1998, the International Editor of the Year Award in 1999, and the Dan David Prize in 2006. Now we end with a history on July 29, 2010, was the World Tiger Day. The World Tiger Day is an annual celebration to raise awareness of tiger conservation efforts. Celebrated every July 29, it was firstly conceived at the St. Petersburg Tiger Summit in 2010. The Tiger Day celebration is aimed to promote a global system to protect the natural habitat of tigers and increase public awareness of tiger conservation issues. That was Today in History.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Pahawang Island. Stay tuned. Listener, Lampung, as one of the cities which is located on Sumatra Island, has the privilege of a long and beautiful coastline. Therefore, there are many natural tourism destinations in the Lampung region, such as beaches and islands that are very beautiful and amazing. One of them is Pahawang Island. The name Pahawang is beginning to be popular and well-known among tourists, especially among the tourists who love marine tourism. Even Pahawang Island in Lampung has a nickname as a piece of heaven that fell to the earth and it was hidden. This island is one of the snorkeling spots whose underwater scenery is beautiful and it is still not touched by human hands. For residents of Jakarta and surrounding areas, the island of Pahawang is indeed currently becoming one of the new tourism destinations, especially at weekends. The location is relatively close to the capital city of Jakarta, so it makes this island a favorite tourism object. The Pahawang Island has begun to be visited by tourists since around 2011, and until now, there are around 550 people to 800 tourists who come to visit every week. Pahawang Island is located in Punduh Pidada District, Pesawaran Regency, South Lampung. Pahawang is the name of a village and also an island which is located off the Punduh Bay. The Pahawang Island is included as a marine tourism destination that presents a variety of water tourism, beginning from snorkeling until various other water sports. At this moment, the Pahawang Island begins to become a mainstay tourism destination of Lampung province, which is often offered to domestic and foreign tourists. The Pahawang Island region consists of two islands, namely Pahawang Besar Island, which becomes the main island, and Pahawang Kecil Island. Both islands have beautiful beaches and exotic underwater views. At low tide, tourists can also cross raised sand that stretches beautifully from Pahawang Besar Island to Pahawang Kecil Island. Pahawang Island, which is located in the South Lampung region, can be reached about 2 hours by motor vehicles from Bandar Lampung. Lampung province can be accessed through 2 roads, namely by air and sea lines. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Pahawang Island in Lampung. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Matamu tersirat apa yang kan terjadi. Kau ingin pergi dariku, meninggalkan semua kenangan menutup. tertutup lembaran cerita. Oh sayangku, aku tak mau. Ku tahu semua akan berakhir, tapi ku tak rela lepaskanmu.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. The segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Makanannya Enak. In English, the food is delicious. Listen to this conversation about makanannya enak. In English, the food is delicious. Siti asked Kevin about the taste of food. Kevin says the food is delicious.
Bagaimana nasi goreng tadi?
Enak, tapi sedikit pedas.
Mungkin lain kali minta tidak pedas saja.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bagaimana rasanya? Which means, how about the taste? Enak, which means delicious. Kurang enak, which means not tasty. Sedap, which means delicious. Kurang sedap, which means not tasty. Pedas, which means spicy. Tidak pedas, which means not spicy. Sedikit, which means a little. Rasa, which means taste. To describe your expression whether you like or dislike toward a food, you can use expressions suka, tidak suka, enak, tidak enak, pedas, and kurang pedas. To ask someone about the taste of food, you can use the expression, for example, Siti, bagaimana rasa nasi goreng tadi? Or, how does the fried rice taste? Or, gimana rasa nasi gorengnya? Kevin, enak. Or, delicious. Listener, to ask about the taste of food, you can use the question mark bagaimana if you ask an older person or in a formal situation. For example, bagaimana rasa makanan ini, Bu? Meanwhile, if you ask people who are already familiar, friends, or younger people, you can use the word gimana. For example, gimana rasa nasi goreng ini? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bagaimana nasi goreng tadi?
Enak, tapi sedikit pedas.
Mungkin lain kali minta tidak pedas saja.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Yang membara menahan rasa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song from Lampung Province entitled Sang Bumi Ruwai Curai. The song Sang Bumi Ruwai Curai was composed by Syaiful Anwar. The phrase of Sang Bumi Ruwai Curai means one earth, two souls, which describes Lampung as a home for two indigenous communities, namely Pepadun community, who live in the middle of the mainland, and Saibatin community who live on the coast. The song also narrates about the beauty and wealth of the nature of Lampung region. In the lyrics of Sang Bumi Ruwai Curai, it is explained that Lampung has a green panorama, an expanse of paper and clove plantation that illustrate the prosperity of Lampung province. Well, listener, here is the song, Sang Bumi Ruai Jurai, sung by the song's composer, Syaiful Anwar. Enjoy the song.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.